For some strange reason, you've decided to come back to Non Sequitur. This episode was recorded live on the Non Sequitur YouTube channel. You can catch Non Sequitur live Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. To check out our upcoming episodes, go to www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. That's nonsecshow.com/schedule. You can also keep up with the latest news, updates, and the occasional dumpster fire or two by following us on Twitter at nonsecshow or on Facebook, facebook.com/nonsecshow. If you'd like to become more than just a viewer, consider becoming part of our team. Our patrons get exclusive rewards like bi-weekly hangouts, early releases, after shows hosted on their channels, and even the opportunity to direct their own episode. They always have access to us through the Patreon and our Discord. And to learn more, please visit patreon.com/nonsequitur. If you enjoy this episode and you have the time, please consider going to iTunes and rating us. It goes a long way in making sure that these episodes get out to as many people as possible. On behalf of Steve, I'm Kyle Curtis. You're listening to Non Sequitur. Never follow.
And normally this is where I would say we are live, but we just aren't. If you are expecting us, we apologize. We are in the middle of a copyright claim. We had on Thursday's video titled The Lost City of Z. It was the true story of The Lost City of Z, but a studio company in England, because they had a movie that came out with the similar title, struck the video, claiming that we infringed on their copyright, even though nothing about the video was about their movie. So we are dealing with that. We cannot stream live until that's taken care of. Hopefully that will be soon. And I want to say a quick thank you to everyone on Twitter. We counted there have been at least 6,000 tweets to Studio Canal in the past 2 days from you guys. So we are greatly appreciative of that and your support during this time. But enough with the bad news. Let's get on with some good news. We have a fantastic treat for you guys today. And that would be Mercedes. Is it Carrera? Did I say that right? Mercedes Carrera? Excellent.
Very Spanish of you, Kyle. Muy bien.
Yeah, I was trying to get the...
He practiced that for like 4 hours this morning, by the way. In front of the mirror. Carrera.
It's good.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Usually we have in our... You can see it on your screen now, but we have a... This is our standard layout, and I figured I would do something fun and just festive for today. So, Dave, let's get more into a porn star vibe.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
Hi.
This is so Kyle. Yeah. So Kyle.
I thought it was fitting. I've been wanting to pull out the pink and for a long time. Pink is my favorite color, so this is an appropriate.
That's time. Why it's so you.
I love it.
Yeah, let's dive right in. Tell us a little bit about you, who you are, what you do, and then we'll kind of dive into how you started out in the adult film industry and go from there. So take it away.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Where do I start? Okay. Most people on the internet who are not porn fans probably know me from being involved in Gamergate. I was very heavily involved in that. My background, I was a commercial print model in my teens, and then I ended up going to school for engineering. My father had been a hydraulics engineer. He was U.S. Army and then civilian contractor. I worked in aerospace for about 5 or 6 years in telecom for an additional, I think, 3. My background was in industrial engineering, although I ended up working mechanical. In aerospace, I worked mostly environmental tests for, like, space-based optics, so basically cameras, mm-hmm. at low Earth. So we did a lot of environmental test stuff like that. So that's kind of usually when people talk to me what they're interested in. Like, why would you go from that?
Yeah.
I love those topics. I mean, we can sit here and talk about engineering for the rest of the show. Don't worry about anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, that's his thing. He's totally huge into that. Oh,
like, we're vibing then.
They're there. I'm right there with you.
Perfect, yeah.
I was a machinist. I was literally an engineer machinist with the Navy, nuclear division. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for your service, too, Matt. I love the Navy. Yeah. Then you'll totally get – I actually worked on a lot of joint naval defense stuff. I worked for a very large aerospace company that starts with an R. If you know anything about
it. I do. I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, so I worked on environmental tests for optical systems. Most of what we did was environmental test for thermal cycling. So a lot of the optics we're using mirrors, I guess you could say, made of beryllium and other materials. So we were looking for variances in how refractive they were, or and just the components. Like, I did tribology for a while, which is the study of ball bearings. So I took ball bearings apart.
I've had a work with many a ball bearing in the Navy, I assure you. I'm having an orgasm right now. This is like heaven. It's funny you mentioned beryllium, because I just had a show last night where a friend of mine had told me he was taking an engineering test. And he put every answer as beryllium. And basically, his instructor thought it was so funny for some reason, actually passed him on the test. But for now, we say that beryllium is the answer to everything.
Beryllium is a very interesting metal. It actually is highly, highly toxic. So outside of any laboratory that they use beryllium, and like especially some of the optical lenses we were using were probably about 3 feet in diameter. So these are fairly large payloads. But they have fantastic, I guess you would say, refractive capacities, which is why we would use them for optics. But when you shave it, it's a lot like asbestos, and it will get in your lungs and it can kill you. So you have to be very careful. I'm sure you know as a machinist.
Well, and also, I will be in the nuclear field. Beryllium is actually used as a reflector, too, for certain things like rocket engines that use nuclear propulsion. They have to have these beryllium things that actually move with the boron, and they actually will reflect neutrons, and that'll cause the rockets to actually have higher thermal energy. So I'm with you. I get you.
I got it.
Everybody's like, you brought on Mercedes to talk about rockets and nuclear fission. This is awesome.
I am fascinated though. How do you go from that type of career into the adult industry?
Well, so my background's weird because I grew up in LA more or less. Even though my dad would go on projects, so we'd end up like at Edwards Air Force Base and stuff like that for a while, a couple years at a time. But growing up in LA, I was scouted as a model when I was a teenager. So I did that for, I think, like 4 or 5 years. And then when I went to college, I honestly didn't really care for the fashion modeling world. It's not interesting. I mean, you're wearing clothing. Like, it's a big fucking deal. So I went to college, and I went to Cal State. And so my father was a savant, a literal savant when it came to mechanics. He actually worked on he worked for SpaceX. Before he passed, and he worked on they created a hydraulic actuator system. So, you know, like when you take the rockets out, you wheel them out, and then they have to go 90 degrees.
Yeah.
And then
you have to go
clamping mechanisms on them, right? So when it launches, those things have to time within something like a hundredth of a second in order for the thing to launch correctly. So my dad worked on that because they had a mechanized system, and then they went to hydraulic actuators because my father was a genius with stuff like that. So I grew up around engineering.
Wow.
I grew up in garages, and we didn't have any boys in the family, so I knew how to do all that shit, and I liked it. I liked building stuff. So I went to school, and I worked at several large corporations, and it was soul-sucking enough that what happened was I ended up working in production for AV, I got caught in a bad time, too. You know, there was mm-hmm. an 08 crash. That really, I think, a lot of it was timing. Like, if I had been born 20 years before, I probably would have been very happy working at, like, JPL my whole life or something, you know? But,
yeah.
Rounds of layoffs, and so I ended up working in TV production behind the scenes. And actually, my boss in telecom did websites for adult industry people. So I actually had a server rack that I did technical training for telco, and he used one of the servers in my server rack to host all that shit in exchange for me getting.
See, now she's talking my language. Oh, Lord.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're already
the voice
favorite.
Of God, by the way, if you didn't know, that's our producer, Dave. The voice. We just call him the voice, the disembodied voice is the voice of God, we call him. That's David.
Yeah. God. Hello, God.
Producer.
Hello, Mercedes.
So I did. So what happened was actually, like, it was kind of a long progression because, you know, it's like you're talking 15, 20 years or something. But by the time I was doing that and I knew a bunch of people in adult and they were like, why don't you perform? You would be good at this. And I had actually escorted pay for college. So yeah. So that kind of, it all just kind of went together. And I did a couple porn scenes. I thought, well, this is really easy money. So, you know, I'll do a couple of these. I paid off like the rest of my student loan debt and stuff with it. And then I didn't expect to keep doing it. And somehow I've been in, I think almost 5 years now. And I'm busier than ever. So it's just a weird, it's an anomaly. I have no idea how it
is. Busy's good. Busy's good. Yeah. Well, I mean, I have researched some of your work this week to make sure that we could all be acquainted and know what we're talking about. And I must say that you chose the right path. I will tell you that.
I didn't see him at all this weekend, by the way. He just said, I'm going to be busy for like next 2 days, Steve. Just don't contact me.
Well, and I'll tell you what's the coolest thing. I'm actually gay, and she actually did a really hot scene with two men in a bisexual. It was fantastic. Yeah. So yeah.
I think I saw somebody tweet on that. They actually got upset. They actually said something along the lines of, why did you ruin a good scene with two men? And your response was great. Your response was fantastic. Oh, yeah. I was like, that was brilliant. She's like, well, don't fucking watch it. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was
weird that say those things.
It's true. And I mean, he does have a point, because there was a moment where I was like, I was ornamental. I was basically like a dog in a purse. I was completely unnecessary.
I didn't do that much research on that particular episode.
I will say that you were necessary. It was great. This is why it's cool to have you on, because the way that you just kind of made that introduction and told us what you like your experience before you started doing porn and like your vast level of knowledge, I think goes a long way to kind of kill the stereotypes people have, because for some reason people think that if you're a porn star, then you're ditzy and you know, you don't like, you know what I mean? Like, there's that whole stereotype. And that's why we wanted to kind of bring you on to kind of go through that. Like, do you get a lot of that when you're when you're meeting people and they ask what you do and that sort of thing?
I gotta be honest, like I'm kind of an introvert outside of my work stuff and like online. I don't really meet a lot of people and be like, hi, I'm a porn star, because you know, it's actually, I don't think we say that. I don't think that society is cool with that. So, and also I just don't know where I'd meet people. I don't really tell people what I do unless they know what I do. So I think that there's a stereotype, and I don't know that it's incorrect. I think that in the past, especially when you had a different society where there was a different level of opportunity for different kinds of work. Like I said, if I had been born 20 years prior, I probably would have worked at like Boeing my whole life and it would have been fine. But when you work so hard at school and you want a career that you have some control over, sometimes it's very challenging. And I got caught up in a weird time, because in 08 they were just laying people off left and right. So that scared me, being a fairly young engineer at the time and thinking, sure, what am I going to do? Because especially the skill set I had, I mean, doing cryogenic thermal cycling environmental testing for space-based, you know, optical systems. I mean, that, like, who, like, there's three companies that do that. So if you get laid off in one, you gotta hope the other two are hiring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was, and that's the reason I'm telco. I think that there's a general perception, because I think that the industry creates it too, because the perception is that you have to be fucked up to do porn. And don't get me wrong, I'm totally fucked up. But, you know, in order to do
like... like, we're not. I mean, totally. Have you seen our show? Totally. I mean, literally.
You're in good company.
We actually have the
company.
Audience for the fact that we are fucked up people. So, but in a good way. We're fine.
In good company.
I mean, it is. It's true. But I think that there's kind of a... It's actually a smart business decision if you can do it. I have Asperger's, or I was diagnosed with it, I guess. So my experience in the industry is not the same as a lot of the girls. Like I heard you guys talking a little earlier, but there's kind of a real victim mentality happening even amongst a lot of the women in the world that are, you know, female performers and stuff like that. So, and I don't ascribe to that. To me, this was I like fucking, I like having sex with people. So if people want to pay me to do that, then that's fucking great.
You also find it empowering. I mean, are you empowered by it? Cause I mean, there is obviously some people that might be have the victim mentality, but you seem to be very alpha, very, you know, empowered by all this.
Well, I think porn either makes you or breaks you, and I think that's true of a lot of entertainment. Anything where you guys know you're public facing, right? So it either inspires you to become better and you become a better version of yourself, or you say I can't do this, and then you collapse. And I think that, you know, probably 80% of the world is in the latter category. So if you look at the data, you would say, oh my God, porn ruins 80% of women. Yeah, but what about the 20% who are doing fucking fantastic? You know, so that kind of that Pareto chart, and you know, and also because the perception of pornography is, hey, you have to, it's like the last chance before working at, you know, whatever, so some, you know, low tier shit. Like a lot of the girls come in and they don't appreciate it or take advantage of it. I see that a lot with the way people treat their fans. Like I really like when you know, shows like yourselves and people who are public facing appreciate the people who engage with them. I think that's important. And so yeah. Porn has not, they have not gotten, I don't know if they understand the new world economy. So there's some really great people and then there's a lot of shit. So it's kind of, it's kind of like, yeah. And I think it too, you know, the society expects women to be, who are fucked up, to go into porn. So that women who are fucked up show up in porn and then they fail out. And they don't know why. Most of the people who are very successful in the adult business are pretty together.
Yeah, and to me, I never understand the negative connotation that is put on, especially women who are in porn, because porn is something, you know, people might not like to admit it, but most people watch porn in some capacity. I would say, you know, I don't know. I can't say that everybody watches porn, but at least at some point. A lot of people watch porn. So it's something that everybody does, you know, to some degree.
I think what it is, especially right now, you have a very, I think it, like Nietzsche would call it like a slave morality kind of mentality happening. You have a very feminine model of the world. Well, you see this right now, like in the last political cycle, right? And it was all about Hillary Clinton didn't get elected because she has a vagina and the world's misogynistic and blah, blah, blah. So when you have a society that's very female-led like this, and you have women who are really sexually not competitive because they're postmenopausal or they're sterile or whatever, making policy decisions and making cultural decisions, you actually start to see pornography portrayed in a less favorable light. And that's the only people who really oppose pornography, like on a top level, are the extreme religious groups or mm-hmm. women's groups.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, but I like the fact that you leverage it to your advantage. I mean, on your social media, you platform yourself and position yourself to be available to your fans and people that actually like having conversations with you. I think that's a huge testimony to how you use the adult industry to your advantage and not let them use you. So, I've seen it. I mean, that's one of the reasons I recommended you. I was like, this is somebody who's got their shit together, that knows how to use the media and actually seems to really care about their fans and wants to have conversations and engages with them. And I was very impressed by that, to be honest with you. I think you were the only adult star that I even followed until like recently, only because I tagged a couple of the people, but really it was just you, to be honest with you.
I think that's, you know, I think when anytime you're doing anything that's facing forward, media facing in the world, same with you guys, people, you don't always realize how important what you're doing is to some people. Like you mm-hmm. guys realize it this week, when you're not on live, people are like, wait a second. Like they have a ritual that they spend time with.
Yeah.
They go through withdrawals. I literally just got somebody posted on my Facebook right now. They're going through non sequitur withdrawals and we've only been off air for 2 days. Point.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And I think that, you know, it's remembering how important your impact can be in the world. I think in porn in general, especially in the past, there's kind of this mentality of, you know, we don't matter, or it's that victim mentality thing, right? But I get these amazing emails emails from people all over the world, a lot of military, because I'm very active in their community, and realizing how, like, these people have been spending time with videos that I'll make custom videos for people and they'll watch it every day while they're deployed. So, you know, whatever. So I care about the people who follow my work. It's why I'm allowed, I can do what I do, and I'm grateful for it. But also, I think it matters. And I think we need to, all of us in the world need to be in a conversation that, like, what we're doing matters and impacts other people, whether we realize it or not. And absolutely, there's not a lot of personal responsibility. There's not, like, in society right now. It's just like, I still see a lot of fighting about an election that happened 2 years ago. Like, when are we going to fucking grow up as a group?
That's a good point.
That's done. That's over.
That's a good point.
Like, guess what? But he's the president for the next 2 fucking years. So how do you want to play this? You want to position yourself so that in the future, the people that you want get in, or do you want to bitch and whine, piss and moan, and think that somehow it's going to change the past?
Yeah. Speaking of, you got to look forward, right? Not past.
Speaking of that, let me ask you just as a side note, would $150,000 be enough for you for Trump?
Well, I, you know, honestly, look, and I don't know Stormy personally. I don't know that I personally would ethically take hush money anyway, to begin with. You know, I mean, look, I don't know what her relationship with how it was based, whether it was transactional or not. But what I do know is that if engage in that kind of work and men provide some sort of transactional system for them, there's some sort of asset that changes hands, then the presumption would be that transaction is closed, right? Like in any other contract, there's an offer, you know, and it's accepted, it's, and the deal's done. So, you know, to renege on
it's
that.
It's a fulfilled contract.
Right. So, and then not only was it fulfilled, but then it was fulfilled again for an additional $150,000, right? So now that one was reneged on as well. Do I particularly like Trump? I'm really kind of indifferent when it comes to politicians. I think that General Mattis is a very important piece of that administration. And if he's dismissed, that will absolutely change my perception of that administration. I'm not sure exactly what Stormy is after. I know that they're trying to leverage, you know, an inquest into Trump's finances. That's a very interesting thing. I don't have history pots of news as a way to men down. The greatest men are the ones who are a lot. That's why a lot of times you see gay men in charge of things, because there's no way to honeypot them.
Yep.
So
that's a good point. That's a very good point. So I wanted to kind of go through the a little bit. And I know I saw that online you're really big into net neutrality. And so I want to talk a little bit in here in just a second about net neutrality, but to kind of answer some of the questions, like, I think that most people have about the porn industry and just kind of how things go. How many times, like, either a month, or how often are you filming, and how do you select, like, who you're going to do a scene with, or how does that process go?
Well, I work a lot, so I work probably about anywhere from 10 to 20 days a month, which is a lot for a performer, because most performers probably work 1 to 2 days a week, so maybe 8 times a month. I think one of the top agents says his goal is to have all his girls work 12 days a month. I often work more than that. You know, I'm lucky because, like, there's like 3 Latina MILFs in the whole industry, and we're all spread out. So.
Is it a niche thing? Is that what it is? A little niche that you have going on?
Yeah, and then, you know, because the industry is all, it's pretty much all site SEO. Like, that's, like, every porn scene, that's why you'll see them now. Interracial stepmoms, cuckold, babysitting teens with braces, you know what I mean?
I'm guilty of all of those.
Like, check, you know. So, so that's kind of, I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, so that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the deal in the industry. I fit a lot of those check marks. So I work more, whereas, like, some girl who's, like, very young, or she's, like, really, really got a really specific look, where she's very ethnically one way or the other, like, then they work less. So I have all the, like, where I get to be in the movies for with the white girls, and then the Latin ones. And, you know,
excellent.
I made a lot.
Do you have to Do you have to fly to various studios for that, or?
What's that?
Not old enough to be a MILF yet, are you?
Oh, I am. Well, I think I'm 30.
Oh, you look 35? Like 29.
30. Yeah, I'm 35. I'll be 36. This year.
It's hard to believe that's considered to be a MILF in the first place, but 35, it's like a baby to me. You're a kid.
I think that, you know, they're going for like the, oh, it's your friend who was, you know, his mom was 16 when she had him. You know, it's like that kind of the hot mom thing.
I got you.
But do you have to, I mean, do you fly to various studios for this? I mean, how do they get everybody like together to do a shoot? Obviously, people live in different locations and stuff like that.
Yeah, most of it's in LA. So like LA, Miami, and Vegas all have kind of their own industries. Vegas is very fetish culture heavy. Miami has a lot of like the new girls. For some reason, that's where all the new girl talent seems to come through. And then LA is kind of the core industry that's like more corporate. And then Montreal is a big corporate office, one of the big companies. But for the most part, most of the shooting's done in LA. There's like 10 shoot houses that everybody uses that we've all shot in a million times. And then with partners, sometimes they let us pick. So like that one buy scene that you saw with D. Arclight and Sergeant Miles, I actually chose them because they came to me, and a lot of the girls don't do buy scenes. There's unfortunately a lot of stigma still about what they call crossover performers, which are performers who are male who do both gay and straight scenes or work with transsexuals. And most of that is based on ignorance and their misunderstanding. There's back in the 90s, people were afraid of HIV. And the testing protocol they used was the ELISA test. That took 3 months for HIV to show up. And by the time you tested positive on the test, you could have spread it to other people, right? So there was a lot of concern about mixing those two communities. Now with the microRNA test, it picks up the virus before it's transmittable or transmissible. So before the viral load is high, you can get HIV and have it for like something like 4 weeks and not have a high enough viral load to transmit it to other people. So, but we're looking for that marker. We find it as soon as it's in the bloodstream. So that's why we haven't had an onset transmission in like 12 years. But like the bi scenes, for example, I chose them because I don't do a lot of bi scenes, but I do them because I will work with anyone I feel like working with. And I don't give a fuck what their, you know, perception is. Because I know what the science is. Yeah. So, I mean, like when I started working with a lot of the transsexual women about 3 years ago, they said, you're going to get blacklisted. No one will work with you again after you work with them. And I said, you can go fuck yourselves. So I did it anyway. I did a
good for you.
Big movie. Yeah, it was a great film because it was about a woman named River Stark. This is her real life story. She's a combat vet who transitioned after she came back from like her third tour in Afghanistan. And all of the things that happened because she'd been married and had kids. This was a fucking big deal. And so I played the wife, and it was a very heavy film. And it didn't win any awards. I think it should have won something, but it was so heavy that I think people didn't know what to do with it. But it was great. And it actually, ever since then, now these other girls who are big names are now working with the transsexual performers. So I think that kind of, because I'm not going to get blacklisted for that. Like there's two other Latin girls blacklist me. It's not going to happen. It's stupid.
Queen Bee. I'll go ahead and put this out there. I love bi scenes, and some of my favorite male porn stars are crossovers that do both. So I'm a huge fan. Yeah. You should do more. You should definitely do more.
I love it. I think the production.
See, now you're talking his language. I don't know the name of a single one of them. So now you're in Kyle's territory. He's with you. He's right there with you on this.
Yeah,
I feel reviving. There's
exactly
a crossover performance. I think that performers should be. See, here's the thing. I live in a world where if you're a performer, your job is to channel a variety of experiences for other people to relate to. That's what we're doing. Like, so if whenever I deal with a performer, it's like, no, I won't work with this group of people. I'm like, well, then you're going to do shit everywhere because you're not expanded enough mentally to be able to say, hey, this is what I do. And I understand people's boundaries and stuff like that, but it's the judgment.
Yeah.
Oh, higher disease risk. I'm like, no, there's not. And actually anytime I've gotten like chlamydia 3 times in the industry, and every single time it was because some girl went out to some fucking EDC type party and had like a train run on her and then shows up to work 3 days later and I have chlamydia. Those I'm more worried about those girls than the male crossover performers.
Yeah.
Oh man. What do you, it, when you're doing a scene, how much of it is like, I'm trying to think of how to word this. How much is it is like actual enjoyment, and how much is it is, you know, that edit, that exaggeration,
exactly,
kind of thing? Because
I'm glad you didn't ask any of my ex-girlfriends that question, Kyle.
We already know the answer to that, Steve.
Yeah, we already know the answer to that one. Trust me. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, a lot of times it's the production studio. So, like, sometimes it's how they film. So, like, let's say, like, Brazzers, like, they cut a lot and they want really specific shots and really specific positions. And so you can't get into a flow because it's really directed the whole time. And depending on your tenure as a performer, like, I'm at a point where they pretty much let me run my own show. Like, the most directors stay the fuck out of my way. I'm like, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to. Because, you know, I fucked on a kitchen counter fucking 30 times in my life now for porn scenes. So I know how to do it. This is how it's going to be done. But some scripts, I mean, they've got like some corporate head in Montreal is like, I want this exact fucking shot. And so we've got to do those things. So I think a lot of times, you know, when people say, oh, well, porn's authentic, I'm like, well, the way they're filming it lends to that. But then you get some other scenes where it's totally authentic, totally go time. And actually that bi scene, what I loved about that is because I got to choose my talent, because they came to me and they said, hey, Mercedes, what do you do? I work for those guys all the time at that company, but they hadn't shot me for a bi scene yet. And I said, yeah, but I want my two friends. And so these are friends of mine who I got to have a scene with. So we had way more fun and we ran it through totally organically. We just did whatever the fuck we wanted and they kept cameras on.
Yeah, you can tell.
So those are and you can tell, like people can see it. They're like, oh, that's so much fun. But they're like, that's our rapport too. So that was kind of the best of all worlds converging, where they're friends and we're working for a company that lets us do whatever we want. And then on the other hand, I've got the thing where they're like, hey, we're booking you with this person. Your call time is some stupid fucking early thing and you're going to have to do this stupid script. And I'm like, okay, that's my job as a performer. So.
How long are you actually, like, for a, let's say that it's a 25 to 30 minute video that's going to go out of you. How long are you, or how many days, you know, hours, how long are you actually filming for that one 25 to 30 minute scene?
For the most part, like a company like Brazzers will do like one scene a day. So it'll take them all day to do pictures and like get everything, do all the intro and stuff. And by all day, I mean probably like 8 a.m. to like 5 p.m. to do like one scene. Some of them, like the one that the bi scene, and I'll just use that for reference because you saw it. I think they did like, they filmed 2 or 3 scenes that day. So basically what you saw is what happened. Like, I don't think we did any action. Yeah. So it was just that. And that's why that you can tell this have better energy. It feels really organic.
Yeah. Is it weird when people are like crowding around you with cameras and all that, or do you get used to it?
Porn runs kind of like a skeleton crew for the most part. So usually when we're filming, any superfluous people are sent out for that reason. It's mostly for the guys. It's mostly so that they don't lose their hormones. They're the ones who actually, like, they're the total unsung heroes because everybody pays attention to the women. But realistically, and this is why the bar was set so low for women for so long. Like, any bitch can put some lube in her cunt and pretend to like it, and there you got a porno, right? But the guy they're the shit. They're the ones who matter because they are the actual operating members. And if they can't do their job, and I'm talking in a boy girl scene or a gay guy scene, you know, obviously the lesbian scenes have their own thing too. And actually, the lesbian scenes, it's usually where they film the most content. For some reason, they'll shoot 45 minutes to an hour of sex for lesbian scenes. And I think it's because they like to do a lot of close shots, because the people who are fans of that work, they want like a more sensual experience. So they kind of draw it out. Whereas, you know, like, I've done gonzo scenes where literally I've showed up, makeup done, gotten on set, taken some pictures, and shot a 25, 30 minute scene, and only been on set for an hour and a half all day.
Oh, wow.
So it just depends.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. That varies a lot. What are some of the ways that they actually keep the guys ready for action? Because, I mean, that's got to be, I know probably the first time is the performance anxiety's got to creep in sometime. I mean, that happens with people who aren't doing porn.
Yeah, it's well. That's why there's very few male performers, and the few that are, they make less money than the women, but they work way more often. So let's say that they'll make on average a third to half of what we make a scene, but they'll work every day, sometimes twice a day. Viagra is used. A lot of these like new athletic scenes that you see, it's because we have access to Viagra. That's why you didn't see that stuff in the 80s. There's also Cabraject. Some of the guys do that. It's an injection that you can use. I guess they use it for some sort of surgery, but it causes like a 2-hour erection. And then also there's a new technology. It's a penis pump. So they put this, I don't know, it's a pumping mechanism. It looks like another testicle. And with the testes, and you pump it, and it pumps the dick up. So that's a new technology. It's
physically exhausting. I mean, just for the average Joe Smuccatelli like us, you know, having sex is a workload. It's a challenge half the time, especially as you get older. Oh, I couldn't even imagine having
you're
to
not
do
doing it right then, Steve. Again,
Kyle, trust me, you'll get there. You'll get there. But yeah, I can't imagine how much physical shape you have to be in order to have that kind of grueling demand on you.
Yeah, and that's what I always tell people. We're really athletes. We're sex athletes. And I think that when you see girls burn out and have like a fucking meltdown about the industry, it's because they didn't understand that coming into it, we're performers primarily. So it's more like a circus than it is like a TV show, because we're doing athletics and we're doing them in weird ways, and there's risk associated with it. And people don't, you know, it's kind of like nobody looks up to carnies. Nobody looks up to, you know, porn stars.
Yeah.
There's a few stars out there that I've appreciated over the years, for sure.
But back in my day,
it was you had like what's called Selectin on TV, right? And it was all scrambled, and so you would have like a little analog thing. You would kind of tune it, so you get that little scramble thing out of the way. You're like, that's a boob. That's a boob. Yes. Yeah. That's how I started in the porn industry.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah. Like, I love.
I'm not even kidding, Kyle. That's a true story. Yeah.
sex athlete, though. That's probably the coolest sounding occupation that you can have, though. I am a sex athlete.
Yeah.
I know. I love my
gold medalist.
My job. I love my profession. I love the industry. I've come to love it more the longer I'm in it. It's such a fucking cool thing to do for a living. If you can keep your head on. You know, I think a lot of times when the girls burn out, they were either unwell to begin with, which is common, because again, we're telling people that this is where the dysfunctional people go. So then you got people who are fucked up. And so this is, you know, feeding itself. And then also, you know, it's hard for people to deal with like the fan element, because the brain wants to focus on the 10 or 20% of shit as opposed to the 80, 90% of great. You know, it's like, I'm sure you guys get all kinds of shit comments sometimes on YouTube, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's life. You know, and people, you can't.
Have you seen our flat Earth? Have you seen our flat Earth videos? The flat Earthers?
No.
Okay. We'll have to send you to them. We actually have a wide variety of things that we do. And one of the bigger things that we do for Dumpster Fires is we actually have flat Earthers come on and try to argue for flat Earth. And they are nuts. Oh, no. They're psychotic. And they've left the most ridiculous comments we've ever seen. They're bizarre, but people watch.
We're very hated.
We haven't seen anything. Yeah.
You guys are very hated. Part of the you're like part of the reptilian Illuminati overlord.
Oh, yeah.
Disinfo.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yeah. NASA pays us well to shill for them.
Mm-hmm. Steve brought up a good point, though. How have you seen porn change in terms of, I remember when I was just coming out of, I was in middle school and high school, and that was in the time of AOL. So you had dial up, you know, when it had that annoying noise that would, you know, play when you were trying to get on the internet.
24 to bot screeching.
You literally wait for 5 minutes for one picture to pixelate across the screen, you know. And I remember looking up porn, waiting for that, you know, a boob to pixelate across the screen.
You see the picture kind of scan like this. You're like, is that part of the areola? Yeah. Wait, is that nipple?
Now you have it everywhere. You have it everywhere. You want it. So how have you seen like the industry change, and where is it going? Like, what's the next frontier in porn?
Well, I wasn't around for this, but I hear all the stories because anytime you're on a porn set with, like, and one of my good friends, Mike Quasar, he's one of my favorite people of all time, and he's a big deal director, so he's been around forever. My friend David has been around since 87, so he's actually like got 30 years of tenure. We talk about this. The thing that really affected the porn industry was the tube sites, and it was this the inability of the industry to kind of work together to form some sort of coalition to keep content from being stolen. It's like if you make mainstream Hollywood movies, there's a lot of protections there. So they work with the government to block your access to, you know, I don't know, whatever the latest fucking superhero movie is, you know, to download mm-hmm. online or from some Russia or Malta or whatever. The industry didn't do that, and so the tube sites pretty much decimated them. Like Pornhub, X-Hamster, all those sites that are now trying, what they did was they went in and they gutted everything. They stole all the content to the point the production companies were more or less bankrupt and then bought all of them. So now that company owns like 80% of the industry. And now they're learning that because they've stolen the content and they've made it free, now they can't make money on the scenes that they create. They're monetizing a lot of web traffic. That's more their probably thing. But it's changed. That's why I said everything's SEO driven now. Everything is about your SEO tags because it's all about how we can index that and make the most click, you know, on the clicks. And the social media has changed the perception too. Because back, like Vivid and a lot of those companies, they had big PR arms and they would put all the girls in contract and then you'd have somebody kind of babysat them. It was an intermediary between the fans and the girls, right? So that's why like AVN Expo existed and or exists. And it was a big deal back then and not so much now because it was your only way that you could meet some of these girls. If you wanted to meet Jenna, you had to go to the thing. Like you could send letters to Vivid and probably get a response, but it was coming from some PR department, not Jenna herself.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's hurt the money though. The money's not there. There are people making just a fortune putting really bad content online the internet just because it was porn and it was on the internet. That was enough to sell. Yeah. You know.
What do you think about the move into the virtual reality porn?
That seems
to be picking up.
I've done about, let's see, I want to say 6 or 7 VR scenes.
Oh, cool.
I think that the problem, the limitation with it is like it would do better. And there's probably video games for this. I just don't know. I don't keep up on that. I should look it up. That do virtual reality like sex. I think that the scenes themselves haven't taken off because, first of all, I mean, you've got to jerk off with a fucking helmet on your head. So that's, unless you live alone, that's kind of... Right. You're so totally immersed in your fucking whoever walk opens the door, you can't tell. So I think that's part of it. And I also think that because just of the nature of the scenes, it's not necessarily interactive. Like you're part of, you're immersed in an experience that already happened and you're replaying that, right? But when you film like a, let's say an actress for a VR scene, what they do is they set the cameras up pretty much where the guy's head is. So he's either like laying flat or he's reclined in a chair or laying down or whatever, but he can't do anything. So the male performers are totally at our mercy. They can't do anything. They can't move because it, like the person wearing the headset didn't move. You know what I mean? And then it's how much can you do like with one person looking at a camera for 20, 30 minutes and do it the way they set it up, they'll do like 5 minutes. So like 5 minutes of reverse cowgirl. Well, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, if you were doing that in real life, like that's pretty fucking boring. So I think it hasn't really taken off. It's because you're looking at somebody's back for 5 minutes, you know?
Right.
I mean, yeah, I don't think that watch porn, they would look for faces and cues. I mean, we're humans, we're adult, like we're animals. We're looking for those cues. And when you take those away and you actually, and this is the thing that, you know, feminists always say, oh, porn objectifies, but it really doesn't. Because when they did studies on it, they found that men overwhelmingly look at faces and micro expressions and other kind of social cues to see if they're doing a good job. Right. It's hey, men want to do a good job. They're watching women going, is she getting off on this? Actually, it was women who objectified breasts and penises and vaginas and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, it's actually the eyes that tell the story, right? I mean, when you're looking at the eyes, right. The eyes, most people look directly at the eyes. But it's funny you mentioned that, I watched just recently Ready Player One. Have you seen that? great movie, but it has a lot of things about augmented reality. And I think that might be more of a wave of future than even virtual reality, because people have these headsets, but it doesn't actually like remove all the rest of the surroundings. It just augments the existing reality. That might be, I think, a better way to go than you said. It may not be as immersive, but you're not disassociating yourself with reality entirely, where you have to like sit there in this little encapsulated visor thing, you know.
That makes a lot of sense, and actually I'm surprised nobody's done that. I might take that and run with it, because that's exactly
augmented what reality porn. There you go.
No, it's really,
you could be like one of those little like little angels sitting in the little bottom of the Google Glass or something, you know, that, you know, like, yeah. You know how you would say, hey Alexa, or hey Siri or something like that. You'd say, hey Mercedes, and you'd pop up in the glass, and hey Mercedes, exactly. See, it's brilliant. Do it. Take it. Run with it.
I like that. And that makes more sense, because I think it's actually like, and then maybe that's what's always bothered me about it on a psychological level. It's kind of dissociative. Like, I don't want to be in this room. I don't want to be where I'm at. I want to be in this other place with this other person. But it's not interactive. So it's almost like being in a sensory deprivation chamber in a way, because you don't have no control over that environment, but you're choosing not to be in your current one. I think psychologically for me, it doesn't work, but I don't have a penis. So I don't stroke my dick to like porn, like the same way. I'll watch it, but I don't have the same physiological cues. So I don't know if some of the men who, because it's mostly men who buy it. I mean, women don't buy virtual reality porn overwhelmingly.
That's true.
I've never tried it, so I don't know.
What do you say to people that might say something like porn is harmful, or, you know, there's that whole group of people that they try to rally against porn because they claim that it poisons the minds of kids growing. You know what I mean? Like, what do you say to that whole
fuck 'em
arm of besides that.
You know, I actually don't disagree that porn should be behind pay sites. I actually think that the industry should be in with a religious right to have it as banned as possible, because that's how I make the most money. Like, the more contraband my work is, the more money I make. So
that makes sense. That makes sense from your point of view, actually. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's ban it. Like, ban it all. Like, fucking put it behind all the pay sites. Like, make people.
Make it made very difficult to get to. Right. Okay.
Yeah, because that's actually a better model. Part of the problem with the industry right now is that they're like, they have this weird, they want to make money, but they also want porn to be everywhere. And I'm like, well, you can't do that, because that's the scarcity model. It still applies to this. So I think pornography can be an addiction, but I think part of the reason for the addiction is actually an overarching social issue that we have right now, which is that I think we have a society that, for all its technological progress, is exceedingly regressive when it comes to sex. And maybe even increasingly so, because if you look at like technologies and advanced, it's like Demolition Man now. You know, people are going to put on the VR headsets in order to have sex. It's kind of a bizarre thing. It's like this weird neo-tech thing. And I think people feel very disassociated from their humanity or their animalness. So they're probably going to porn to look for that because of the condition of society. I don't think that. I think anything could be a problem. I think you can overdrink water. You can overeat food. You can, you know, overuse any compound or whatever. I don't think they're wrong. I just think that they don't understand the why. So they're coming to a conclusion. They're saying that porn is a problem for these people. Well, yes, it is. But the reason for that is not the thing that you're saying. We don't need a return to biblical family values, because look, things were fucked up back then. If you really read news reports from back in the day, where they're saying, oh, everything was so great back in the day. It's like, no, the world was not Leave It to Beaver at all.
No,
it was actually
not at all.
That was the image that they put forth. That was the varnish that they put on society. But you look deeper beyond that varnish, that's not the way society actually was. That was all myth.
And you're dead on. You're dead on. I think that it has a lot to do with the fact that people haven't embraced sexuality. They do it in private. I think to a certain extent, everybody is willing to kind of search out or seek out their own sexuality. But they, for some reason, won't do that where it counts, which is out in the public. Like, we're not open with sexual education in schools. We try our best to shield kids away from hearing anything about sex. And what that causes is problems when the kids get older and they realize that, hey, this is pretty fun and I haven't been exposed to it, you know, very long. So I'm just going to go crazy with it.
Right. And also, like, without, you know, I mean, porn is not an instructional how to. It's like you're not going to watch Evel Knievel to learn how to ride a bicycle. You know what I mean? And so it's the problem is that you have people looking to pornography and saying, well, they need to educate. Well, there's actually instructive porn out there. I've done some really
Ginger Lynn. Ginger Lynn taught me an awful lot back in the day.
Yeah, Ginger Lynn's dope. I went on her radio show. She's really
cool. Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah, she's super fun. She's such a cool chick. She's like, she started talking about, she's talking about getting turned on watching this Japanese bukkake scene where they're coming with gallons of semen and pork. The girl.
She does sex education now, though, doesn't she? I mean, that's kind of her shtick now. She's heavily involved in sex education, right?
Yeah, her and Nina Hartley.
Nina Hartley?
There's a lot. Jessica Drake with The Wicked Guide to Sex. That's a big series. They have it, and it does exist. It's just that when you go to Pornhub, you're more likely to see Riley Reid taking like three dicks up her ass. You know what I mean? It's it's all about what people
see. That's the most popular video I think on Pornhub.
Yeah. I can vouch for that.
You see? Yeah. He's in his research this weekend.
He's a big Riley Reid fan.
Came across. I love Riley.
Fantastic. I'm just a big porn fan.
I like porn too. It's like, it's one of these things where I think if you watch it as entertainment, it's really cool because you actually get to see performers. One thing I love about porn is that I hated being a mainstream model and actress. It's incredibly limiting and it's totally stupid and I'm reading so many stupid words that they wrote and whatever. But with porn, they usually give us an intro and then whatever in the scene is usually up to us unless it's really good, and usually it's not. So we can kind of take things how we want. And I love that about my profession is they give us still an opportunity. So we'll take, like, I did a scene yesterday with this girl. I was supposed to be a tennis coach for this girl. And we turned this into this really amazing scene because I was going to fuck her into being a champion. Right. So, like, I made her come and I'm like, how bad fuck win? And I'm fucking her. And she's like,
fucking for the gold.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
And it was cool. They gave us kind of this. So you can get really creative if you want to.
Oh, and that's funny.
What I do love. Yeah, it's cool. But, you know, I think it's like anything. It's to be used in moderation. I don't think that that's the way to teach children. But if your fucking kids are watching porn, like, where the hell are you? Like,
yeah,
watch your kids.
Really?
I don't know what to tell.
That's a good point. I'm glad it's a little bit more natural now because gone are the days. It's so crazy to go back and watch some of the vintage porn with the cheesy intro lines like oh, you've got my pizza, do you need a tip, you know what I mean, like it's
extra pepperoni.
It seems like now today you just it's a lot more just going straight into it, which I like. There's none of the extra acting with
it's a lot more reality, right? It's a lot more reality type, like instead of like scripted than anything else. But you're talking earlier, there's a lot of porn stars that actually have degrees. I mean, very well educated porn stars, people with degrees in microbiology, anthropology. They're very intelligent. And I'm a sapiosexual, so I find that to be hot, right? If a woman's in a scene and she's talking science, and it happens to be hot and naked, what can go wrong, right?
You're a what?
Sapiosexual. If you don't know the word, you're not one.
That's not a thing. Thumb.
Yeah, save you.
Stop.
Yeah, no.
It,
he thinks I make shit up. He literally thinks I make these words up on the fly.
No, I think people make up too many words for things. Like, just say I like having sex with people who are smart. You don't need
You don't have to even have sex with a sapiosexual. But sapiosexual doesn't mean you have to have sex with them. Sapiosexual means you're attracted to intelligent people.
Whatever.
See what I do with...
it's true. I think inside the industry, actually, we have stuff like that too. Where there's some of the performers that I really, really gel with that it's not about looks. Like, I think we all kind of have to hold ourselves to a high standard because people want to, you know, see attractive people fucking, but it's not like, I don't think that's a definitive thing when it comes to say, if my time in porn has taught me anything, it's all about like what's in people's brains and their energy. That's what makes people sexy, you know?
But what's some of the nicest girls you've ever had to work with, if I can ask? Like, you, like, just actually nicest? Sweet girls. Nice.
Riley Reed is a sweetheart. So
she seems
really
nice.
Happy about that. Yeah, she's wonderful. God, there's so many girls. My good friend Missy Martinez, one of the other Latin MILFs. There's three Latin MILFs: Ariella Ferrara, Missy Martinez, and myself. So that's it. We're the triune of Latin MILF made porn. But Missy's a good friend of mine. She's fantastic. I mean, most of the girls are actually really great. One cool thing about being kind of a disenfranchised class is that people end up, even if they get a little ego for a while, overall. And I got to tell you, actually, most of the people with shit personalities wash out really quick. So
that makes
that's
sense,
one
though.
Thing that's.
It does make sense. Who wants to work with them if they're just nasty people, right?
Yeah. And you'll see, I've seen this, not super recently, but kind of recently. Well, they'll push a girl really hard. But she's got a shit personality. So yeah, they might do that, but the rest of us are going to rebel and go, I'm no listing that person. I'm not going to work with them. I don't care. So I'll do that. If I don't like somebody, I'm like, fuck you. I don't care how popular you are right now. Cause I'll still be around 3 years from now. You'll be gone. I'll give a shit. So
there you go.
Enough of us who go, I don't need to put up with your fucking bullshit to make my, because I'm not going to too late. Always a girl who's a bitch to man set. I don't need to work with you again that bad.
Yeah.
And you do have the choice. You can blacklist certain people, right? You can say, whatever reason, I don't want to work with that particular person.
Yeah. And the only people, it's funny because some of the girls, like I said, there's still a lingering thing from the 90s where people want to blacklist over crossovers or they work with transsexuals or whatever. The only people on my no list are people who I just don't like. They were assholes at some point. And I'm not willing to invest time in finding out if they're going to not be assholes the next time I work with them.
Sure. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Do you ever have any awkward moments where the chemistry's not right when you're filming a scene, or you may be just not into that other person?
I think at the point I'm at now, no, but earlier on, yes. I think you realize it's possible. So part of your job as a performer is to make chemistry where there is none. So your job is to then every person you work with find what it is about them that you can connect with. And like I said, the only people who are assholes are the ones who won't connect back. If they're not willing to engage in that with me, I cannot work with them because they're creating a self-limiting barrier around themselves. And so we can't create anything good.
Sure.
But most people, especially most performers, they want to do that. They want to be in their space and do what they're doing well. And so they're going to work together with whoever they're working with. So I worked with a young girl yesterday and she was like, I was so intimidated to work with you. And I think, well, I don't know why, but it's just because I've been around for a while and I have a rep for being a pretty good actress. So she was nervous, but she was so sweet. And if people mess up a little bit or they're having a hard time because they're nervous or they're confused, I think we all understand that. It's just a matter of, it's the ego. And I think the social media has created some of that too. There's a lot of this, you guys see it, I'm sure, it's social media likes and clicks and blah, 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 blah. And so people start to believe their own bullshit. And you're not famous. I'm not famous. I don't know how many people have jerked off to me. I'm not famous because when I walk down the street, I'm not being stopped all the time.
That's probably good. You probably like that, though. I would like that fact that I'm not, constantly, you're out there enough where people that they appreciate your work, but they're not clobbering you down the road or stalk. Do you get stalkers? That's a good question. Do you get people that just have an unhealthy obsession with you?
I don't, but I'm known to have a lot of guns. So I'm kind of I grew up in a military household. I have a gun next to my bed. Fuck with me. Let's see who's a better shot. I'm gonna bet I'm a better shot. So I don't.
But it's still nice to have a fan base, right?
But I love my fans. See, I have great fans. I see, and I don't have, I hear this from other girls. I think that people kind of create or generate a lot of what they are, whatever you put out, right? So if you put out a lot of shit, you're going to get a lot of shit. Or I'm very careful with the scenes I do. I don't do scenes that are snuff scenes or anything like that because I don't like that fan base. So I don't want fans who want to see me get killed. Most of the girls I know who've had serious do those kinds of scenes. Because you're dealing with people who are mentally unwell. It's not normal to want to see people. Like, it's while they're having sex, it's a bizarre thing. So I do really, I stay with like really vanilla. And like the scenes that people, like people consider the fact that I do bi scenes and transsex scenes to be like, ooh, it's so like outside of the typical rules. But then on the other hand, a lot of the girls who will do that will do a snuff scene or something, a torture type scene.
That is bizarre.
It makes sense.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. So I'm great fans. My fans are fucking fantastic. I love my fans. They're really good people. And some of them are really supportive. I get to know a lot of them really well. And I like talking to people. I'm interested in who they are, what they're doing, and why. And why they follow me. Because it's cool. You know, to me, it's so neat. Somebody's going to actually tweet me and say, hey, I watched your porn scene. I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Well, that you're good. I mean, this is why you're I think you're fantastic. For all of those reasons, and for being able to get out there and, you know, answer these questions and not, I guess, close yourself off and feel like, well, you know, I'm not going to interact. And it's cool to see people do that, especially when you watch them, when you watch them on that level. You know, there's something very intimate about, you know, I mean, I'm sure you get this all the time. People, everybody's seeing you naked. You know, that's got to, on some level, be very, like Steve said earlier, empowering. But how does the net neutrality issue affect the porn industry? And because you're a big advocate for that.
Well, so and what happened was actually with net neutrality, so I got pulled into the Funny or Die thing about it because all of us really were concerned that there are still pay sites in porn, and people who are hardcore fans will still sign up for those sites because then you get like the four, you get the extras, and you can be in forums and stuff like that. So, and you know, honestly, it's like anything. I think if you really like something, spending $10 a month or whatever for it is probably money well spent. So those companies still rely on kind of a free and equal internet in order to deliver content. And so if you're going to see, like, for example, ISPs start to prioritize Netflix and then deprioritize pornography as some sort of punitive measure, or just because they're not willing to play ball and pay for the rate is in order to prioritize their content. A lot of those companies are the holdouts against the tube sites we're going to go under. And so I think the real concern in the industry, and this is kind of on this, was what happens when if that goes away, if we don't have kind of equality on the internet, what you're going to be left with is just tube sites for porn. Everything else is going to go, like, I mean, it'll almost be like a secondary deep web type of thing, because it won't, because a lot of it doesn't get indexed either. They've kind of pushed a lot of porn off of that, and porn is it's a societal necessity. People have drawn dicks on everything since time immemorial. I mean, this is part of the human psyche. I mean, the Navy the other day, I'm sure you appreciate this, the Navy drew a dick in the sky with a fighter jet because it's the Navy.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go on in the Navy we don't talk about.
I'm sure. I'm sure. I have no doubt.
Yeah,
I'm not even exaggerating. I mean, there's some things we just don't talk about. What's that?
Yeah.
Sorry, we have a little bit of a lack of that.
Yeah, that's, and like, look, people are like, this is what people do. I mean, what is that one temple? I have a book on it. Is it in India, I think, where they've got the sex? It's an ancient temple. It's like with these huge carvings of like DPs and all over this fucking. Well, it's like 5,000 years.
I hate to tell people, but sex has been around a very long time. Long as people have been around, it's been around.
Yeah, and I think one thing that probably is unnerving to people about porn right now, and I do have kind of my theories on this, but I think it's that historically when you saw sexual societies or cultures, it was tied in with fertility. And because we've decoupled fertility with sex, I think that that's why, like, the religious right and a lot of people who are kind of traditionalists really have a hard time with it, because it's hard for them for their psyche to understand how to decouple those. And I think so. That's where people, like, especially feminists, they don't know what to do with this. And I have a lot of theories about how women are interacting with the world right now, anyway. Because even like a lot of the hormonal contraceptives change how women perceive men and sex and stuff like that, which makes sense because like birth control pills put you in the first trimester of pregnancy artificially. That's what they do. And most of the time, you know, the female body goes into self-protection. So we have a society right now that's post-hormonal contraceptive. We have a lot of medical interventions that we make to ourselves, but our sex drive is still there. How do we reconcile that? And so I think there's kind of a bigger question about that. I don't think anyone's really addressing it. You have the camp saying, hey, sex is good and normal and porn is great. But there is the other side where I understand why these people are having their moral panics, even though I think they're misguided.
I actually saw a, I'm trying to find it now, saw a article from the, let me see if I can find this real quick, from the Friendly Atheist on Patheos, and oh, where can I find this at? Shannon, actually, a good friend of ours, Shannon, retweeted it. I can't find it right now, but anyway, the title of the article was, it was this woman in front of the, she was in a church, I think, but she was in front of the congregation, and she was saying that only straight people don't give blowjobs or have oral sex. Straight people don't have oral or anal sex, I think was what she was saying. So she was in front of this congregation making a claim that it's a, I guess, something brought on by the LGBTQ community, this whole epidemic of oral and anal sex, which I think is a good epidemic to have if you're going to have it. But that's the mindset. You know, the religious right is they're deeming these to be, you know, a community only issue. And the only thing that I have to say to her is I feel very bad for her husband. Like that guy. Yeah,
her name is Linda Harvey.
Miserable.
Kyle, you're thinking of Linda Harvey.
Wow.
Okay, I didn't know her name.
Yeah, she's the founder of Mission America.
Yeah. Oh God. Well, see, and this is like that horseshoe where the religious right and the uber feminist anti porn are pretty much the same. Like if you look at like Gayle Dines and a lot of those anti porn feminists, they could be in a church somewhere, even though a lot of them are academics and they're atheists themselves. So that's why I said I think they're trying to figure out how to put themselves in this world, because one thing that I think is unnerving for a lot of women, and this is where you see a lot of anti-gay hysteria, is if you have men who have higher sex drives just in general because of testosterone and, you know, physiology, and then they're all able, everyone's able to blow each other, fuck each other up the ass, like what purpose do women have? So I think a lot of this, the feminist hysteria is them going, but what do we do? And we, how come we don't get our protected status anymore? Because they're not, they don't have a purpose the same way. You don't sure. have lots of children farm going. So now these women are like, oh shit, you mean I have to be a valuable contributing member of society and also be in some way psychologically or intellectually compelling for men to want to stay with me? Oh no, but I have a vagina. That should be enough. Oh, that's kind of like
usually enough for me.
The problem is though that there's enough room for both. Like it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. There are plenty of guys that like guys and, you know, having sex with guys, and there are plenty of guys who don't, who want, you know, mm-hmm. just to be with women. There's a false like hysteria created between these extreme sides. They think that it's all or nothing. Like you can't share this planet with gay people and straight people, because both groups do exist. I mean, they do exist.
Absolutely. A lot of times they're the same person. I mean, because I'll go from like doing a totally lesbian scene one day, and a lot of times they bring me to be dominant, kind of like a little dykey. So like the next day I'm doing some thing where I'm being tossed around with some dude. It's like, that's, we all exist. Like that's the cool part of living, is we get to expand ourselves to be anything and everything we want to be that's within our reach. So right. why is, but, you know, people who don't want to do that, or that's why you see like women who are religious right or women who are super feminist are like, oh, God, no, we can't do that, because it's laziness. To be frank, it's just intellectual laziness, and it's an inability and an unwillingness to be great enough to be compelling on their own. Like if somebody's with you just for the blowjobs, like do better. Bring more to the table. Because they're going to leave. If sex is the only thing that you have as a linchpin in your relationship, and that's what most women were taught. You know, the Victorian era kind of cemented that. The women think that offer, here, you give me love and resources and I give you sex. That's the transaction, right? But in yep. this modern society,
There's a societal contract between them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's unfair. That's unfair to men. But men were willing to do it because they needed lots of farm hands, you know? So it makes sense why people did it. But right now we're in kind of like a neo hunter-gatherer society. Most of us live in cities and we go hunt and forage for shit, you know? We don't need a lot of offspring. So then, you know, women have to find their place again. Okay, well, if we're not broodmares, then what are we? And how are we contributing to society as a whole? And so that's where you see a lot of women driving that. And then also you see it with same with the religious right. A lot of those guys, you know, they're either repressed, they have homosexual desires they don't want to acknowledge. You know, that's a big, huge part of the religious right. Huge. So huge. Every time you see guys, like, every time they catch them, it's like they're with a transsexual, you know, prostitute doing methamphetamine. It's like that focus on the Family Guy. What was his name? Ted Haggard?
Yeah, it doesn't even faze anybody anymore, does it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it even faze anymore when some religious right advocate that's always been talking about being anti-gay gets, you know, found to have a trainee in a bathroom? It doesn't even faze anybody anymore. It's like it's more astounding when you find somebody that's actually not had a sexual scandal, you know, of some kind.
We're an atheist channel here, and so we deal a lot with mostly religious arguments back and forth. And I know quite a few that. You know, in my, I don't know, personal life with the church that I used to go to, I know quite a few that aren't so, what's the word? Pearly white, we'll say.
He's corrupted a few people, is what he's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Because porn actresses get a lot of those people too. It's amazing.
I can imagine.
Like, look, this is why, like, you know, they're trying to get Trump on the Stormy thing. And I don't think anybody was surprised by Trump fucking porn stars. I mean, the guy had, like, the Miss USA pageant.
Shocked.
So,
she was surprised, but.
Yeah, no. But I think he wasn't a model, and she was rumored to be an escort or something back in Eastern Europe. I don't know. She's gorgeous.
In Russia. She's gorgeous. Oh, she's gorgeous, yeah.
Gorgeous. But, I mean, Trump was a Democrat till 2009. I've never held Donald Trump to some moral standard. You know, like, he's never,
right.
He's not. So, but you know, like a lot of those people, a lot of the celebrities too, that we get to know, and you know exactly what's going on. Charlie Sheen was one of them. But, you know, I don't believe in judging people for what they do in their personal lives as long as they haven't enacted judgment on other people. Like, as long as you know, as long as children and animals aren't harmed, I don't give a fuck what people do. Like, I'm a pure libertarian.
That's a good point.
That's our philosophy here.
Charlie Sheen seems fun.
I party
Charlie
with him.
Yeah. Seems like he'd be fun to hang out with.
I've heard he's a lot of fun. I know a lot of people who know him. I've never met him, but he seems... Yeah, and I think that's like... It's all sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Every single religion, every single society throughout history, every secret society, every closed group that goes on the top of a pyramid and cuts the hearts out of virgins every eclipse and fucking tumbles their body. It's all sex, drugs, and rock and roll. At the base of that, there's some shamanic ritual and everyone's doing cocaine and fucking each other. That's the truth. And religion right now is trying to pretend that that's not the case because they're trying to impose some sort of social order. I understand why they're doing it. Because they're social control freaks, but they just don't know how to like order themselves in their mind to like let go of the fact that, hey, you know what? This all exists out in the world, every variety of it. And sometimes you just got to let it go, curate your own fucking experience. But you reading to me from some book that was written and rewritten at the Council of Nicaea is not going to change my fucking mind. Do better. Produce a better
book.
You're
my new hero. You're my new hero. We need to do is do a poster of Mercedes and the words "Do Better" at the very bottom. That's hashtag Do Better.
Kyle, can she be the non sequitur official porn star? Can she be official one?
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
This was fantastic.
I like that.
Steve, do you have anything else you want to? I want to save. I'm hoping that Mercedes agrees to come back. If her schedule allows in October, so we can actually do this in front of a live, because I know people will want to ask so many questions, and we want to do that. So I want to save a little bit for that, Steve. But do you have anything else you want to ask?
No, I just wanted to honestly thank her for coming on and joining the Non Sequitur Show. I mean, we've been reaching out to her on Facebook, and she was so polite, so nice, and so sweet, and just said, you know what, I love to do that, and we love when we have guests that are enthusiastic and want to talk to people and. We find that to be what we built our brand on, right? We go out there, we put our face out there, we talk to people, and we associate with the fans. You seem to have the same model, and I think that's why we picked you and said, this is the person that we want to have on to talk about these topics. And it's unfortunate because of the strike that we weren't having a live audience, but next time we will. And maybe you can bring maybe a friend or something. There's a few, like I said, there's a few that I actually wouldn't mind bringing on, you know, like a Piper Perry or something.
Oh, gosh, Steve. Behave.
Hey, well, throw it out there. Hey, come on. You talked about your bi scenes for a while, Kyle. I mean, I have some lesbians that I actually.
I love Piper. I did a girls' bi scene with Piper. She's so small. Oh. She's like, she's so cute.
I do know about that scene.
Did you see that scene? Because like she was it was so great. Who was with Mona Wales? She's licking Mona Wales, and I fucking like because we're busy literally just trying to find shit to do because we've done every scene like every. Thing a million times, so how do you make it different, right? And usually it's like the performers, so I'm using her head and like a strap on a fucking Mona Wales face. She's so small, like I've been picking her up.
I know she is pretty small, I gotta admit, but she seems like she'd be like a fun spinner type, just bubbly and
I love her. I love her. A good choice. She's a sweetheart of a girl. She's so cute. And so I don't know. I don't know that she's LA local, but if you send me other people that you like, I can always see. And then if not, like I could probably get one of my good friends. My friend Missy Martinez is hilarious. You want a good follow on Twitter. I think it's Missy X Martinez. She's a comedian. She's so funny. And, like probably one of the smartest people I've ever met. So yeah, Missy you guys X. will really like her. She's
awesome. Well, let everybody know before we close out where they can follow you and where they can see your work. If you have a website, that sort of thing, just where, because I know people will check you out after where they can find you.
You guys can find me on Twitter at TheMercedesXXX, on Instagram at BasedMilf, BasedMilf. And also, my website, it's operationmilf.com. It's down right now. But I have a project where I have sex with all amateur male talent that are U.S. military veterans. So that's what Operation MILF is. Operation Military I'd Like to Fuck. that's my own little project.
God bless America.
I love those guys. And I get emails from them. They all get out and they're like, what do I do? And I'm like, and I was like, how do I fuck that guy legally? And I was like, I know. I'll just have you see, because if I don't have them
that
tested,
is awesome.
I didn't fuck them if they're not tested. So then I was like, well, we can just do scenes. So yeah, so I've done like 10 so far, but it's been a really slow moving project. It's hard to find a home for that kind of content because it's totally out of the ordinary. Because I don't want to do a website that is all the same kind of scenes that you can see on Pornhub. Like why?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is the coolest. That's the coolest philanthropy I have ever heard of. Good for you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Sure.
So if you want to come come Operation MILF, let me know too.
Excellent. Steve's going to be signing up right after we close out the show.
You know what? I'll do another 6-year stint in the Navy for that. What the hell?
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you once again, Mercedes, for joining us. Guys, hopefully the next time you see us, we will have that content strike situated. And we're going to start tonight calling them to get that removed. Hopefully that will be resolved. And we'll see you at 8 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday. If not, our schedule will be as is you saw on the bottom of your screen in between me and Steve. Those will be the days that we will change the schedule up. So big thanks to Mercedes. Keep doing what you're doing, please. It's fantastic, and we loved having you here. This was probably one of my favorite shows that we've done. Fun. So, fantastic.
This was really fun.
Thank you so much. I look forward to coming back in October, so let's set that up. Thank you for having
Excellent.
Me. Thanks, all.
Sure thing.
Appreciate you guys.
Sure. Bye.
Go
Bye, guys.
Subscribe to her on Twitter, guys, and girls.
Yes.
And Bye. Others.
Fantastic.
Non sequitur. Your facts are uncoordinated.